Welcome to the ANews podcast. This is episode 105. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchist news. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. On performing all the metaphors. People say that they like something I have done and they ask me to do more. It is nice to hear, to the extent that it means anything. Details and explanations put meat and guts on the empty skeleton of praise. But my knee-jerk reaction tends to be frustration. I am recognizing that that might be an unfair, or at least heavily idiosyncratic, reaction. So here I'm going to parse that out for a minute. Much like tokens everywhere, I feel a tacit responsibility to speak to some purpose outside myself. I don't know if I'm feeling the pressure to speak for women, or to encourage other women to speak, or for anarchists of a certain type, or just for myself. But this is certainly partly why someone urging me to perform feels much more like a burden than like empowerment or validation. I want to write. I want to express myself. I want there not to be this echoing void inside me when someone asks me what I think. The Anarchy Bang podcast has really reminded me how much time I require to speak with public face. And of course, I have to go back and challenge the idea that I'm supposed to represent something outside myself, both because no one is really saying that to me, but also because being an underrepresented person is part of who I am. So how is it outside myself exactly? So I could, if I push myself, just take these demands for more as positive reinforcement, and that is what performers undoubtedly do, and communication is performance to some extent, so there's that. But there is a specialization that is implied in the demands, and probably my reluctance is about that. My perspective is only my perspective. I think it's valuable and perhaps a bit unusual, but partly it's valuable and unusual because I go public with it, at least sometimes. Other people could have more valuable opinions, too, if they committed and dealt with feedback and then committed again. As it is, most hide behind a non-masks or are just non-participants in conversations, and so play the role of audience, and not just audience, but specter audience. Live audiences participate with body language, with eye contact, with breathing patterns. Online audiences are as disconnected as any online anything. That said, spectating is what it is. It is the world. It is one of those big dangers, I think, that we can only negotiate around. But people who participate, but only by saying more, more, people who don't engage in the conversation, people who demand without being vulnerable themselves, are both insisting that others are better than they are and being self-indulgent. I don't want to perform. I want to be part of conversations that I care about with people who care enough to think hard about the same things. I'm sometimes willing to start that conversation, even in the face of hostility, but I'm not willing to have it by myself. I'm not asking people to write essays. I'm not asking people to write topics of the week, or call into Anarchy Bang, or write reviews, or stories for ANews. I'm just saying, put your voice out there in some recognizable way so that people can have a conversation with you. All the named folks on ANews, thumbs up, even if I don't agree with you about anything, which is sometimes the case. Get in the fucking water. It's cold, but we'll warm up if we swim. Come on. Felt love's nothing. Squalid. What's new this week? Statement on Cultural Appropriation, updated 2019. From anarchistbookfair.ca. The organizers have been getting shit about white people with mohawks and dreadlocks, and are trying to draw a line in the sand. This was, of course, the hot and heaviest thread, as everyone feels the need slash ability to weigh in. Here, I will reject my knee-jerk response about making rules to include more people who are barely anarchist at all, and say that I feel for the organizers. To the extent that people are actually uncomfortable, yes, hairstyles might be a particularly stupid place to draw the line, but we all draw lines in some idiosyncratic places, right? Then the organizers have to deal with it, and coming down on the side of people of color is a valid choice, given that the two choices, do something like this or do nothing, both seem not good. Maybe their options were different, though? If I were in their position, I would probably try to make the people concerned talk to each other, perhaps with a panel conversation, and probably that would lead to fistfights. But maybe not in Canada. While I obviously tend to agree with the posters on ANews who cite actual cultural history, as far as we know it, that also seems to me like people defending the swastika. Yes, of course, technically correct. But people have to be able to hear you over the Swazis being burned under their bodies before you get to have that conversation. Anyway, mostly a fun thread of responses, and we get to welcome Jussie Smollett to our happy troll population.
The Hollowing of Anarchy, Gentrification, from Scolium. For those of you who have watched the non-anarchist video documentaries of Adam Curtis, the premise of this piece from Scolium will be familiar from the Century of the Self collection. The idea is that as collective action gets harder, either from explicit, targeted state repression or from normal, quotidian market factors, or both, people in general and anarchists here in particular get smaller and smaller in focus. For example, people start emphasizing the power of the individual and internal dynamics because all their friends are dead or in jail or have been forced out of their environs. Quote, identity has become prominent in anarchist and similar milieus recently. Because the potential for altering the routines of life are diminishing, the desire to grab hold of the reins of one's existence looks elsewhere. This has led to an emphasis on political, gender, sexual, and racial identities. In contrast, the autonomen collapsed identities into one. People who used to identify as communists, socialists, libertarians, anarchists, etc. just became autonomen. The potential for transforming daily life made identity irrelevant. Unquote. Aside from some issues I would take with how recent the identity thing is, and also how much bigger the identity thing is than anarchists, I look forward to reading more. The author put Stirner's enslaved body, free mind against Vanagon's enslaved mind, free body. This is a blog-esque post, by which I mean there's a loose structure, if any, and it feels like a piece of something larger rather than complete in itself. Friendly neighborhood punctuation alert. No matter how common this mistake is, decades, like 90s and 80s, etc., don't get apostrophes before the S, for those who care.
Overview of repressions against anarchists and anti-fascists in Belarus in 2018, from Anarchist Black Cross Belarus. This roundup is as depressing, enraging, and mundane as one would anticipate, including torture, travel restrictions, harassment, etc. Here's an excerpt that demonstrates both the sneakiness and the idiocy of the state actors, perhaps highlighting why knee-jerk reactions will always play into state hands. Quote, an anti-fascist Y, who was planning to go to Moscow for work, was detained in spring. He was accused of publishing a Nazi propaganda video and charged with incitement of ethnic hatred. The video was shared on his private page and was actually accompanied with a comment ridiculing Nazis. His house was raided and he spent several days in custody. He is awaiting trial, unquote. Warning, the good news at the end is not exactly good news, although yes, good is always relative, I guess.
Celebrating an anniversary, the 100 years of the anarchist newspaper A Batalha, from autonomies.org. A thumbnail of a history of this newspaper that started above ground, went underground, and then came above the ground again. It originally claimed to be, quote, the voice of the organized worker, unquote. But, quote, today it is published every 2 months, no longer as an anarcho-syndicalist or revolutionary syndicalist pit newspaper, but a newspaper of anarchist expression, unquote. I wonder about that switch and its consequences, so perhaps translation to English will happen at some point. This announcement provides lots of names for anyone interested in historical research. Missing El Errante again.
Freedom always comes with a knife clenched between the teeth, from Act for Freedom Now. This is a statement of solidarity with an anarchist prisoner in Switzerland accused of burning Swiss army vehicles and a police network antenna. Quote, but look, nothing is completely lost. From the bottom of our hearts, we are convinced of this. Because quite different things also catch our eye. Yesterday, it was entire regions which rose up to the cry of freedom. Today, a wave of revolt is sweeping through France and elsewhere. Handfuls of insurgents are launching attacks in all corners. Police barracks are burning. Companies are burning. Construction sites of new horrors are burning. Institutions are burning. Laboratories are burning. Relay antennas are burning. Rage is showing its teeth. Unquote. Good luck to him and to his friends.
New issue of Anathema, Volume 4, Issue 13. An exercise in moving from the particular to the general. Local events, politicians, police activity, priest malfeasance, court cases, specifically the Von 17, a thoughtful review of Gelderloos's Diagnostic of the Future essay, a communique by anarchist prisoner Juan Flores Riquelme, and a report back on the Yiddish Anarchist Conference that is different from either of the report backs already posted on ANews. Also, announcement of two attacks in Mexico in defense of the earth.
A workers' party in elections or class struggle? From ilrigsa.org.za. a site that, quote, is informed by the view that globalization is not a heightened form of international integration, but an attempt to restructure class relations so as to restore capitalist profitability. Globalization is neither neutral nor inevitable, unquote. Oh, dear. Quote, I want to stress that we are participating in and waging a battle of ideas. This is not just between an embattled working class, broadly understood as workers, the unemployed, and their families, and the opposing ruling class. It is also a battle of competing tendencies or ideologies within the working class itself, e.g. nationalism, populism, various Marxist-Leninist tendencies, anarchism slash syndicalism, etc. As such, anarchism argues for a political organization specific to the goals of developing and promoting anarchist ideology, strategy, and tactics within the working class and society broadly. The aim is to win the popular classes to its ideas and methods of struggle, resistance, and social reconstruction. It is not an anti-organizational approach, but one that argues for an organized, collective, and directly democratic response to the issues posed by the battle of ideas. Anarchism and its trade union strategy, syndicalism, does, however, vehemently oppose the participation of those political organizations in the mechanisms of state rule, including state government elections, unquote. I feel dirty just from reading that. Moby Dick represents God, kids.
Italian anarchists for the general women's strike from freedomnews.org.uk. Quote, rather than being any mere ritual and done out of purely testimonial logic, the strike is a necessary moment of rupture to reinforce and highlight the struggle against all forms of discrimination, against all forms of domination that would subject our lives and our bodies. Today, more than ever, reactionary forces are raging against those who claim freedom and self-determination through initiatives and political measures under the banner of sexism and defending the family. The actions of a patriarchal culture rooted and constantly renewed through its roots in and benefit to the logics of exploitation. The family is the fortress around which these forces continually refound a hierarchical and exclusive social and political order. On the left, as on the right, from those who would like it extended to the homosexual couples to those who want it modeled on the sacred family, unquote. I remember meeting someone's parents once and somehow trying to explain my perspective. And as an introduction to the conversation, I said something about the family being the building block of the state. And I will never forget the blank expression on their faces. The family is the building block of the fucking state. Honestly, how slow do we need to go? Lol.
The Local Kids, Issue 3. Thoughts on the Yellow Vests and Insurrection, Networks, Surveillance, and the Metaphor of Webs, A Charming Defense of Bakunin and a Meditation on Rationality, etc., Depressing Normality, A Piece on Anarchism and Individualism, and more. Worth reading.
The rich will never let you vote away their wealth. Victorian Socialists, an Anarchist Response. From the Anarcho-Syndicalist Federation Geelong, the ASF is apparently an Australian network, which means that Victorian Socialist is referring to a place, not an era. I was prepared for steampunk and instead got international. Anyway, here's a piece on why voting is irrelevant slash harmful. It's topical and fleshed out, so that's nice, but there have been so many of these pieces over the various elections, and no new brilliance leapt out at me. Not that new brilliance is required for these recurring aggravations.
15 anarchists in Basel sentenced to fines and prison time from Act for Freedom Now. 15 of 18 defendants have been charged in a blatantly political trial. Quote, the amount of the fine seems even more preposterous in the light of the court rating various charges of the prosecution as unfulfilled, e.g. multiple attempted severe assaults, raids, or disturbances against the public transport. The main cause, therefore, was that the court held on to the controversial construct of co-offendership for all to bear the blame equally, and in their verdict supported this intensified interpretation. All this despite the fact that none of the tangible crimes could be associated with any of the defendants. And furthermore, the statements of one of the main prosecution witnesses was declared not usable by the court, unquote. As noted in the comments, this was the tactic in the J20 arrests as well, making collectives responsible for individual actions with marginal proof of connection. Punish all the people.
Gender After Civilization Journalists Seeking Submissions from heresydistro.noblogs.org. A brief call for papers for a journal of, quote, queer anarchist theory and art from an anti-civ, post-civ, green, anti-colonial, and indigenous thinkers, unquote. Quote, we believe industrial civilization actively works to degrade and assimilate queer lives. This much is apparent. The question becomes, what lies past the veil of insurrection against Leviathan? What will our queer lives be like in the aftermath? Unquote. Perhaps taking Baden to the next level? We'll see.
Announcement of new queer nihilist and insurrectionist zine online distro from downandoutdistro.noblogs.org. They give some samples of zines they provide, including excerpts from the Marxist feminist journal Lies and the provocative, if short-lived, journal Hostis. When will issue 3 come out? When? Two new distros, at least new to me, and both seem right up my alley. Nice.
Audio and video. Coffee with comrades. 1 hour and 18 minutes. The only thing to say about this non-anarchist podcast is that it's on the nominally anarchist podcast agglomerator, Channel Zero. Coffee with Comrades calls itself, quote, a leftist podcast discussing theory, etc. through a radical lens, unquote. If someone else wants to listen and point out any anarchist content, that would be great. Otherwise, mark this as fake advertising from Channel Zero.
Ukraine's Anarchist Underground trailer. Quote, to combat the rise of neo-fascist street movements in Ukraine, a group of anarchists are training and organizing on the streets of Kyiv. Popular Front is the first to film with them. New doc out soon, unquote. One non-commenter, who was not me, questioned how we would know if these were actual anarchists. And another non-commenter, also not me, says that in fact they are not actual anarchists. Quote, all the Ukrainian, Belarusian, and Russian anarchists I asked about these people agreed that they are not anarchists and are in fact homophobic thugs who have not conducted themselves honorably in relationship to anarchists. Unquote. So which anonymous information from the internet are you going to trust? Your call.
Education Infrastructure Insurrection, Mark Bray on Francisco Ferrer and the Modern School, from It's Going Down, 1 hour and 5 minutes. Quote, throughout our interview, we talk about the roles that the modern schools had within the larger movement, how they were organized, how they spread out across Spain and later the world, the complicated political world and movements that Ferrer walked within, the interplay between the labor movement and insurrectionary activity, and also how Ferrer's ideas continued to influence people and educators long after his death. Unquote. Commenter number 2, quote, insurrection is a sexy term, so academics try to tag it at the end of their boring-ass normie topics to get attention, unquote. That commenter's point applies as much to IGD as it does to Mark Bray, unfortunately.
Anarchy Bang, episode 9. This episode that hasn't happened as of Friday, but will have happened by the time you listen to this, is on the theme of anarchist principles. Quote, this week we will try to have a conversation about anarchist principles. In a forgotten past, anarchist principles were how anarchists didn't participate in infighting. We were in solidarity with each other. We helped a comrade out with our marginal resources because we believed that it was through mutual aid that we were stronger than those who did not have the beautiful idea. And because it all mattered, we associated with each other freely, including in love. How has this past sensibility informed anarchist practice today, and how have things changed? Do we still maintain the old principles, or has the anarchist space gotten too large and only local team principles apply? Has media, especially so-called social media, made things better or worse? Unquote.
Anarchists in Conflict, Rojava plus Yellow Vests, from Final Straw Radio, 1.5 hours. Sean, yay, starts at 6:28 and talks about trans folks and immigration. Quote, in lieu of this month's bad news, the Gathering produced an 8-hour radio show last week and elements of this broadcast. We'll present here 2 interviews from that broadcast concerning the struggle for autonomy in the social revolutionary region of Rojava in northern Syria. The first is with a fighter with the Tekosina Anarchist, Anarchist Struggle, starts at 42:49, and the second with Zahir Bahir, a member of the Kurdish Anarchist Forum in London, starts at 57:04, as well as one from another interview conducted a week ago with an anarchist in Paris, France, involved with the Yellow Vest social movement in France, for some updates and perspectives, unquote.
The Unquiet Dead, Chapter 6, Anarchism, Fascism, and Mythology, from Resonance, 2 hours and 8 minutes. Quote, Chapter 6 discusses Barthes' critique of leftist mythologies, Marx's critique of mythology and a critique of Marx's mythology, elements of fascist mythology, various kinds of speculative fiction, and its advantages and disadvantages around imagining toward liberation, unquote.
The brilliant episode 93, Fight for Turtle Island interview, 1 hour and 12 minutes. A friend, or maybe a friend and a half, interviews Aragorn about Aragorn's new book, and we get to hear some of the backstory of the book, and some more of how Aragorn came to be who, where, and what he is. He's clearer and more personal here than usual, which apparently drives some trolls into a feeding frenzy. Yay!
Topic of the week. evidence. In the old days, we used to call up citizen tribunals to determine guilt or innocence. Or perhaps that was just in movies. I guess we don't know an awful lot about how truth is determined in this world. But the news, and the nightly stories about the news, seem to have decided that a lot of conjecture and politicking seems to be involved. It's unclear how much of that is true, but it sure seems to be true, and that is more than half the battle. We do know this. Something like 95% of cases do not go to trial. This is because most defendants are put into the terrible situation of being presented the evidence the prosecution will go to trial with and told to compare that to the cost of defending against it. This balance is then weighed against years of life and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. Evidence falls short to a kind of political reality. Same in mainstream and radical politics. Evidence is used to make an argument, but not necessarily in open court. Evidence is used as a type of subterfuge against rules and power, used as a different type of subterfuge. It seems exhausting. In the old days, like some dusty cowboy movie, principals squared off on the main road through town. Today it seems a lot more like Lucy on the candy line. To what extent do you see evidence-based reasoning in your anarchist politics? Do you agree that the way it has been ignored or avoided in mainstream consensus reality is a problem? How so? Ariel.
Aragorn.
Welcome.
Welcome. I'm welcomed. This is a interesting question. I feel like it's talking about even more things than it wants to admit that it's talking about. I do like the old days of the citizen tribunals. I don't know what those days are. I have no idea what they're talking about, but
let's summon up Tom and Dick and Harry.
Didn't those usually just end in the words string them up?
Well, perhaps it whiffs of that. but I'm also imagining Athens and Socrates and...
Oh, when things were actually about debate.
Yeah.
Okay. The glory days? I have been told that we live in a post-truth society.
Sure.
I believe that we also live in a post-evidence society.
Right.
One of the amazing wonders of the internet to this old lady is that people can show up and say, I did a thing, and it's real. And they can show up and point at someone else and say, they did a thing, and it's real. And there doesn't have to be any conversation, let alone evidence or proof or presentation. It's amazing to me. And I'm never really sure what to do with it and don't understand. Is it that people just don't care? Is it that they're lazy? Is it that they're that naive? I don't understand. So I find that very strange.
Well, to put it another way, the 95% number that I use, which, mm-hmm. I think is roughly true.
Yes, I believe it is.
There are so many horrible injustices in that number.
Yes.
When you think of how many human beings' stories and how many human beings' lives are basically smushed to nothing mm-hmm. due to the fact that evidence is just part of the game
right.
of quote-unquote criminal justice.
Right.
It's like, how did it get to be this way? How did it get to be so 95%? That's a huge number.
Well, and you have to think about the number of actual innocent people in that number.
Right, sure.
Who take the plea because they
can't afford it.
They are so terrified
yeah.
at what the outcome could be otherwise, yeah. and they can't afford to mount an actually good legal defense, and they have to rely on public defenders. I read something somewhere a long time ago from an organization that this is what they do. And I mean, the number of, it was like something like 30% of all plea bargains, or I don't remember, but it was astounding and it was insane.
Yeah.
And it has been widely written about that one of the primary sources that our justice system relies on for evidence is witness testimony, which is the most
sure.
unreliable, right. inconsistent.
Right.
It's insane that we let people's lives hang in the balance based on what a well-intentioned individual says that they saw.
Yeah.
And not because people lie. They do. But that's not even the worst of it. It's just that people remember wrong, and especially trials, these processes sometimes take years. And it's a really common thing that you'll take a statement from a witness, and by the time the witness has to go on the stand and say what they saw, they have to read their own statement to remember what it was that happened.
Of course.
And we remember things wrong, and we confabulate, and we confuse facts, and you know, even police officers and prosecutors say, you know, this is actually a horrible idea, but it's how it works. That's what it's built on. So is that a big aside? Was the question in there? To what extent do you use evidence-based reasoning in your anarchist politics? I'm asking you, Eric.
Well, I think that I probably use it less than I ever did before. And, you know, this is sort of an unforeseen consequence of having a lot of experience is that I do make very quick hits on people, on circumstances, on scenarios. And oftentimes those big hits become the big reality that has to be fought against in maybe with evidence, maybe with something else for me to think something other than what it is that I think in the first 30 seconds of hearing about something. Mm-hmm. So I will, you know, indict myself in that. But, you know, on the flip side, I would basically say that my experience of not just the anarchist space, not just a radical space, but of, like, we'll call it democratic politics in the 21st century, is that it is largely assertion-based. Mm-hmm. It is saying Aragorn is fat, therefore he must love all food. And that is not, in fact, evidence. That is not, in fact, critical thinking.
Right.
It is not, in fact, clear thinking. But it is what I experience all the time. And of course, you know, like, I have a big reaction to this topic and to this, to that question in particular, because I feel like people call me names all the time and almost never have any real backup.
Right.
I even, in fact, received an anonymous comment that really hurt my feelings yesterday. And it was basically nothing, but it was a repeated assertion. That was it.
I don't know what to say to that. I guess I'll answer the question. My answer is probably similar to yours, just because I have to think about it so much. But I think also I use evidence-based. I generally now kind of come from the perspective that I don't believe people.
Yeah. Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And not because people are awful, but because I'm old enough now to know that in most social situations, the person in front of you is presenting the best version of themselves or who they ideally would like themselves to be.
Sure.
And is that a quote unquote capital T true version of themselves? Probably not. People are more complicated than that. People lie all the time, and not because they're horrible, vile, awful, nefarious people, but because we do. And so much of the world is just about survival and getting along, and so much of the world is about not dealing with what you don't want to deal with, and lying is a really easy way to manage both of those things. And I don't, but it doesn't mean that I don't think those people are bad people, but I think also in general, I rank truth as a virtue differently than most people do. If this particular story that you want to tell me about who you are isn't quote unquote true, I'm not sure how much I care until that, you know, unless there comes a time when those facts matter, unless it means that if I want to try to work with you or do something with you, you're not actually engaging with me in good faith. But you know, I guess it's kind of a slightly more in-depth version of, you know, like, live your truth, I guess. I don't, you know, be who you want to be and act like who you want to be and tell me you are who you want to be.
Sure.
And that's fine. None of that matters. You know, if we're talking about politics and thought and discussions and, you know, what people write and you know, when they're trying to make a case, when they're trying to assert themselves theoretically or politically in the world, that's definitely different. I feel like the things that we have received as submissions for writing in the last couple years involve theoretically writers making a lot of assertions in ways that wasn't necessarily the case in the past, and literally just leaving it at that. Kind of an expansion on, if I put this here and say it, then it's true. And that, so it affects the quality of the world that we live in terms of anarchists being critical thinkers, or even just being like, I don't want to use the word deep thinkers, but, you know, somebody who's going to go past the first sentence or past the first page. I mean, I think it does us a disservice.
To what extent do you use evidence-based reasoning in your anarchist politics? Do you agree that the way it has been ignored or avoided in mainstream consensus reality is a problem? How so?
I don't know. Have we both answered that?
I mean, I guess it's a little bit of a different question because it assumes a more mainstream reality. But I guess the bottom line is I'm not sure we can change it. You know, I hate to say it like in this sort of tone of voice, but there are certain ways in which presidential administrations are oftentimes sort of referred to as a voice of the moment that they're in. And and it doesn't seem fair, but I think it's true that Trump's America is a post-fact America.
Yeah.
Trump's America is really sensitive to the nightly news.
Yeah.
And there's always something new on, even when there isn't.
Right. Not just nightly news, but, you know, constant updates to Fox News's website.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people who, like, live in the big cities no longer watch the news and just watch the comedians' take on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And, frankly, I prefer it.
It's more entertaining.
I'm not sure about that because I tend to find the fact that the jokes are the same to be embarrassing.
Mm.
And definitely speak to a consensus reality that is sort of like ugly.
Yeah.
But you know, with that said, I just want to emphasize the fact that, like, just like Obama's cultural moment was neoliberal and you know, about Aretha Franklin singing a song, this moment is basically about those, like, children line dancers who, you know, sing about Trump and a type of consensus reality that no longer requires evidence, you know, that is post-truth. And so I'm not sure if, you know, we're just waiting for the next administration to roll around or if there is actually something that we can do on the level of, like, how do we talk about what we talk about? How do we consider this? Because one of the big problems with evidence-based whatever in the fact, you know, it's something that just happened to me this week, which was someone quoted a conversation that they had with me. They literally pulled it apart to pull out lines, you know, without context, without tone, without the rest. And they analyzed it as evidence.
Sure.
And that's an ugly reality, too.
Yeah.
You know, What does it mean to be parsed?
Yeah. This is the reason for the anarchist line of don't ever talk to the media.
Right.
Because everything that you say can be taken out of context and will be analyzed and scrutinized and broken down into its component parts as if those components parts have meaning all on their own.
Well, and perhaps more pointedly, reality actually is an exercise in consensus building. And that is, like, you know, this is that thing when I refer to society, this is what I'm talking about. You know, when the circle of people that you're doing whatever it is with grows beyond a certain number, it's no longer about context.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. In fact, I think culturally, the royal greater we, have an entirely different relationship to context and its place and its importance than we ever have before. And so it suffers or is dismissed in the name of this rightness. I don't know what the word I want is.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Go out the window.
podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial's written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room, linked on ANews.
Mr. Player coming through with them. Right to clear niggas that be putting on with them. Slim Jim, baby, I'm a skinny nigga too. Jim is the bank, lifting cash is the weight too. Tunnel after tunnel, walking, finding destiny. I'm a child with the mouth, spicy recipe. Back in 98, had the gold frame lows. Hated elementary school to me. What's a joke? Provoke something to influence by the ringleader.